to live righteously. It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's Articles of News for the 7th of November, recorded on the 10th of November for two reasons. One, availability of other people beside myself. And two, well, I did want to wait until after the election was over so we could talk about it. It seemed weird to do news when there was a huge pivotal news that would be happening just the day after, and then the week got away from us.
Yeah, it kind of seems like everything was on a standstill until we knew what happened.
Right?
Yeah.
So way to go, Hillary. Great job. You did it. President, I haven't actually read the newspaper.
Hey, knock, knock.
Who's that?
She didn't win.
She didn't win who?
She didn't win.
Yeah, wait a minute. Hold on.
She didn't win the election.
So who did? McMullen?
President-elect Trump.
Wait.
Have you said that to yourself yet, President Trump?
Yeah, no.
It's hard to, it doesn't feel right yet.
President Donald J. Trump.
President Donald Trump.
Donald J. Trump.
President
Let's give
Donald,
him a apostolic name, please.
President Donald J. Trump. And my husband brought this up too. He was like, you know, when like you go to a restaurant and they have those placemats with all the presidents on them, and there's all these like distinguished looking men, and then there's going to be goofy Donald J. Trump at the end of it.
You know what though? In fairness though, like Taft, sort of goofy looking.
He's goofy looking.
Hoover.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not all lookers.
I know. It just, like, to put him on the end of that placemat, it's like, it just, it hasn't...
Placemat?
You know the placemats of the presidents?
No.
Okay, go to Blue Plate Diner in Sugar House, Utah.
There's the placemats of the presidents?
There's placemats of the presidents and what years they served and when they died or if they're
like
still alive.
That sounds like an awesome thing that should be done in, like, a really deep voice. Placemats of the presidents!
Okay. Whatever floats your boat, but...
I don't feel like a placemat would float a boat.
Anyways.
You're cherry picking all the good stories today, aren't you? I can tell that's what you're doing. You're like, what is this story?
I just don't.
Ooh, I like this.
If we're going to talk politics at the top, I don't want to talk more controversial stuff. I'm trying to pick out the ones that are easy to deliver.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
What's new with you, Lindsay? Throw your hands up in the ayerts.
Ayerts.
Do people at the Lord's radio station call you that, or is it just me?
No, it's just you.
Okay.
But that's how I introduce myself. If someone is confused on how to pronounce my name,
sure.
I say, kind of throw your hands up in the ayerts.
Right.
And that helps, you know.
That's how you, because I also say ertz.
Mm-hmm.
You're like ayerts.
It's not ertz like Zach Ertz of the Philadelphia Eagles.
No.
It's like ayerts, A-E-R.
Like a diphthong.
What's a diphthong?
When you change the vocal sound in the middle of a word.
Oh, okay. You're
ayerts.
Sure. Yeah. Throw your hands in the ayerts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you just learned what a diphthong was.
Yeah, I learned something new every day.
I used to wear one when I was in college, but I couldn't.
Gross.
Once I started wearing garments again.
Gross.
No more diphthongs.
Gross.
Want to hear a funny story about that, actually?
If I must.
So when I went to college my freshman year, I mentioned this in the episode where I get interviewed, episode 54. But I had this unrealistic fear that by taking dance classes, I would be homosexual.
Okay.
Right?
I can understand the fear.
Like it was a causality. Like if you do that, you know.
Then this. Sure.
Then this. Mm-hmm. And then when I was on my mission, I was like, that's stupid. I sort of had that enlightenment.
Right.
And so when I went back to college in the fall and was going to take dance classes, one of the things that I was required to get was a dance belt. And if you don't know what a dance belt is, do you know what a dance belt is?
I do not know what a dance belt is.
A dance belt is essentially like, it's like a jock strap, kind of.
Okay.
Except
is it a diphthong?
Except it's a thong. Because the jock strap, I think, typically has little straps for either side of the butt cheeks.
Oh, is this so like they can lift you up?
No. It has nothing to do with
purpose.
Lifting. It's to keep everything nice and compact up front.
Ah, I see.
Right?
Okay, because you have to wear tight pants?
Right. Well, and because you just, I mean, like, for safety's sake, for goodness sake.
Okay.
You know?
Not
like a cup. It didn't have, like, protection like that. But it just keeps everything nice and tight.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had to go shopping for some reason with my mom, and I said, hey, you know what? One of the things that I need to get is a dance belt. And I don't think that going into getting a dance belt, I actually knew what a dance belt was. I think it was a checklist thing where I was like, and now I'm going to go get a dance belt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went in and I got a dance belt with my mom. Here's what I will never do again. My mom is far more immature than I am.
Oh, my goodness.
I will never go get a dance belt or anything like that with my mother.
What was she saying?
Ever again. It's just like, it's like two giggly girls at a maturation program was what that was like. But fun. Put it on your head. Woo! You know, like, it just, it was silly.
Kind of like the first time I had to wear a bra and I got one for Christmas. Yes. And my brothers called it three-legged underwear. I've never lived it down. Like, it's still a family joke that they bring up every once in a while.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And the best part is you still wear the same one from when you were...
Too soon?
Okay.
Too soon.
All right, brothers piling on. They told me that joke would be a lot funnier than it was, apparently.
It's just kind of inappropriate, actually.
Did it?
A little bit.
That's inappropriate?
No.
I could push it way more inappropriate, I feel like. Best part about that dance belt, though?
Yeah.
Never wore it.
You didn't have
No, I was supposed to. Just like I think in gym, you're supposed to wear the jock strap and everyone gets one because it's a checklist item.
Mm-hmm.
Never wore it. Never wore the dance belt. Still have the tag.
There's questions I want to ask you about the dance belt, but I'm not sure that I want to ask you here.
No, you can ask me. Everyone be warned. She's going to ask me questions about the dance belt, and I'll keep it as a respectable conversation as it can be. Go ahead.
So you said you never had to wear the dance belt.
Right.
Is that because the dance belt is when, like, you said it was for safety's sake, but is it for size sake? Like, you have to keep it intact if it's...
Well, so here's the deal. So I never... Okay, so there was a time that I was in a dance recital when I won Best Choreographer of the Year. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That I had to wear a dance belt. But my particular costume in that show was tan. I wore tan khaki pants.
Okay.
And so the dance belt I bought with my mom was black. It didn't work. It's tacky. So there was a nude color dance belt that I wore for that. So I did wear one. And I wish I could answer your question better because I feel like I have.
I was just trying to make a joke about your size.
No,
I was trying
teeny.
To say you didn't need
no,
to wear
no,
one because
no.
you didn't need the support.
Right.
That's what I was trying to get
at. It supports itself. It's like a little teeny house. Is that
okay?
Yeah, no, that
we should move on. Yeah, we should move on. That's what I was saying.
It's more, it's like a hut. If we're saying like if a house and then there's a hut, you know what? Actually,
okay, you know what? Let's move on.
It's more like,
let's please
you know,
move
like,
on.
Like when your kids will take your laundry basket and flip it over and you're like, oh, that's cute. It's like that.
Oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable. Okay. I told you I shouldn't have asked you my question.
You're absolutely right. You shouldn't have.
I was trying to make a joke.
Do you hear that, Austin? Austin Ayerts?
No.
Don't worry. I text him.
You did.
Yeah. We talk enough. He'll know.
I know you
He'll do. Know before you tell him.
But,
so what's new with you?
Speaking of Austin, I think last time I was here, I was telling you about his birthday gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I tell you what it was?
Yeah. The, tickets to go see the, one team versus the other team.
Yeah. So he's a Broncos fan. I'm a Patriots fan. Those
house
two
divided.
Those two teams are playing December 18th in Denver. Mm-hmm. We are flying there.
They're back in one day.
In one day. Yeah. We fly in at 8:30 in the morning. Game's at 2:25. Fly out at 10 p.m. So it's like... get her done, just like no need for a hotel, just fly in, fly out. Which
You want to spend the night away from your kid and just enjoy each other?
Well, that would be really fun, but then you have the cost of the hotel and the cost of all the food. And so in order to make it as economical but still have the experience, I chose to do it in one day. Plus he wouldn't have to miss any work.
Right.
I mean, I guess we could have gone for the whole weekend, but
are you gonna be out there in time for church?
Probably not.
Sunday, right?
It is on a Sunday.
Okay.
Oh, okay. We're going there. You're going to judge me for this?
No, I'm just pointing out that you're not attending.
You can point that out all day.
Let the judgment fall where it may. I just am pointing out.
Okay. I don't really have a... my ox is in the mire. It's a once in a lifetime kind of thing that I'm going to go to on a Sunday.
Sure.
Apologize if that offends anyone.
Are you going to tailgate then? Is that the deal?
Maybe. I mean, we're just going to take like an Uber from the airport to the field. But I thought maybe we would go like get breakfast and stuff before.
Sure. Because shopping on a Sunday too.
Since we get in at like 9:30 and the game's not till 2:25. So we'll have a little leeway in there.
So there's probably a ward in the Denver area that you could attend.
I wanted to schedule some buffer time in case like it snows that day. And
at least like sacrament meeting.
I don't even go to sacrament meeting here. Why would I go in Denver?
You don't go here?
We'll talk about it another time. Yeah, let's...
Like, that's the biggie, isn't it?
I know, but you know what? It's really hard with a child to get there on time. And I know other people do it, and I'm happy for
them. You have 9 o'clock church?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
It is hard. I try.
Uh-huh. Does Hubs go without you, or does Hubs stay with you?
He stays with me.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I have
Would you be mad if he went without you?
Nope, not at all.
You'd be like, yeah, go you?
Yeah, but... It's probably very rare that he would go
without you,
without me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I always wonder that dynamic.
The dynamic.
Not specifically you, but like, hey, you know what? I'm thinking maybe not the sacrament thing. Like, do you resent the husband or the wife that goes, hey, you know what? It's no big deal. I'm going to go.
Well, I think it's a case by case situation. So there are times where the hub stays home because the child needs to stay home. And I have a calling that needs me to be there at least for the second and third hours.
What is that?
I teach the CTR 4s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, sometimes though, if he just doesn't want to go, there can be feelings of resentment, I guess, because then it goes into like, well, why? Why don't you want to go?
Right.
What does that mean? And
right.
Where are you at? And yeah, you kind of... you try not to overanalyze
it. Yeah, exactly, right? But you go crazy in your mind a little bit.
Well, you have to keep in mind, I think everyone's situation is different. I come from a family where my mother is a member, my dad is not a member,
right?
And none of my siblings are active. Mm-hmm. My mother and I are the only ones active in my family. So I married someone who is a member of the church and is active. And so I compare that to my family growing up. And I'm saying, okay, like my mother has had to be a pioneer by herself. You know what I mean? She has no one to go to church with on a weekly basis. She goes by herself every week.
That's what I love about Mama, not Eret.
Yeah. Mama Mintel.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Mintel.
Mama Mintel.
Yeah. So, you know, some of those elements play into when the husband maybe doesn't want to go to church.
Right.
You get that whole like dynamic mixed in.
Boom!
So yeah,
PTSD from home.
Right. But there may just be times where, you know what? He doesn't want to go to church. It's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean? And I try not to worst case scenario, everything, you know what I mean? It's kind of a case by case basis.
Church is an interesting thing for me. In that I feel like you just do church, and that attitude has got me into trouble a lot.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like you just go, right? You don't feel like it? Oh, that's too bad, because on Sunday you go to church. Okay, so if you don't feel like it, then don't talk to people or don't participate.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like you go, and that attitude has gotten me in a lot of trouble with people that I've dated or been married to.
Why? Because they feel like you shouldn't just go?
Well, no, but like to me, I just go... Like it becomes that overanalyzation where it's like, why can't you just go?
Okay.
Right? Like, what's the thing? Why is something, you know, what is the other thing that's keeping you from just being able to go? You're just sitting in a place for 3 hours.
Right.
If it's nothing else, you're just doing it because it's the obedience part of, there are lots of things that I mess up and do on a weekly basis that are like, you know, temptations or, you know, anything like that. But surely I know that on Sunday at 9 o'clock, there is a building and I'll take my body from this building and move my body to that building. And then at 3 hours, I'll leave that building and go home.
And sometimes you can go to church and not feel a dang thing.
Right.
And it wouldn't have even mattered if you were there or not, because you didn't get anything out of it.
Right.
And I'm kind of the belief that it makes me feel better just to go, whether or not I get anything out of it. A lot of times with a 2-year-old, you don't, although she's in nursery now, so it's getting a lot better.
Yeah.
But I don't get to go to Relief Society. I go and do primary, and it's kind of like a show, and then I'm done. So there's not a lot of weeks where I'm being spiritually fed, you know, at least in my personal life. I don't feel like there are, although I've started to try to pay a little bit more attention in those primary songs, to the primary lessons. Like, they're so simple, and they're so just like... the basics, right? And sometimes it's nice to just get back to the basics of the gospel and like remember like the fundamentals of why you live it and forget all the hoopla you see around you.
All the cultural things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get a pass. You're not going to church.
Okay, so
on, December 18th.
Yeah, December 18th. I probably won't be going to church.
You know what you should do, though? If you're going to break the Sabbath, which you are, there's an ice cream shop.
Yeah.
In Denver, I think it's called Little Man or Little Giant.
Okay.
Look it up.
Ice cream.
It's so good.
At 9 a.m.
In December?
In December.
Honestly, though.
Okay. Little Man, is that what you called it?
Little Man or Little Giant? Little Giant is the ladder, right?
Little Giant Little Ladders? Little Giant?
Is that the ladder company?
Is that also the name of your dance belt?
Yeah. But,
I couldn't even get the joke out. I couldn't even get it out without laughing. I was so excited about it.
You peter through the joke. Little Man, Little Giant. I'll look it up.
Okay.
Anyway, but check it out. It's delicious.
I will look into it.
It's the like salted caramel homemade ice creams.
Yeah, I don't know Denver at all. I don't know the downtown area at all. I don't even know where the stadium is. So if anyone has recommendations for where I should eat breakfast or...
Contact at theculturalhall.com.
Yeah, please email.
The other thing about that too is the airport. You know how Salt Lake Airport's really close to the city?
Mm-hmm.
Not the case in Denver.
Well,
forever away.
I looked into that because I thought, okay, how are we going to get from the airport to the stadium? I wanted to kind of save costs, but at the end of the day, I was like, I'm taking an Uber. It's like $40. Mm-hmm. It takes a half an hour to get from the airport to downtown.
But you'll love it. It's so where Salt Lake goes to grow up, is Denver.
Is Denver.
That's what a lot of people
say.
Well,
they just, they are a more liberal state, right? They voted for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And they were blue and we are red. So we're like right next door to each other, but we're very different states.
Let me ask you this, because it's legal and you're not going to church. He's going to little marijuana on the way to the stadium? Because you're not going to church, you might as well scratch the whole day, right?
One day of church, you might as well just...
You go tailgate and just downward spiral all one day. The things you wanted to do. Merry Christmas, Austin!
Let's try this! You know what? I have no desire to do marijuana, so probably not.
Yeah, to do the marijuana.
I have no desire to try the Mary Jane, the pot... I don't know. For me, those word of wisdom things are hard and fast, and they're easy for me.
It's like church.
Church is hard and fast, but also...
No, it's like my church. Your word of wisdom is my church.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's hard and fast. Like you just go.
Yeah, you just don't do it.
Yeah.
What if your husband wanted to?
He is a free man.
You wouldn't have a problem with it? You wouldn't overanalyze the crap out of that if you were in Denver and he's like, hey, I really want to smoke a joint.
You know what?
Are you kidding?
I am not in charge of my husband's salvation.
No,
my
absolutely
husband
not,
is in charge of himself.
But you wouldn't freak out a little bit?
I think I would worry more if it led to something else.
Okay.
Like, my husband has a history of alcoholism in his family. If he started drinking, that would worry me a little bit.
Right.
Because I know that addiction problem exists in his family. If he wants to smoke marijuana and he wants to try it and he's got to answer to whoever he answers to, then he is a free man. I don't own him.
No, sure.
I don't make his decisions
for
him.
Look at you. I wish I could be a little bit more open like that. I'm not a controlling person, but stuff like that really bothers me.
If somebody that you care about did something.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not my job to protect them, but I sure go, what are you doing?
I know. Well, I think about that now that I have a kid, right? Because I'm like, okay, well, if Lucy picked one up, I would have a real problem with that.
She's
two.
So.
I know, but
more problems.
You're thinking down the road of things you may have to deal with and encounter as a parent. I don't know. I think because I just very much don't ever want to make anyone... feel like they don't have worth because they've done this thing.
Sure.
You know, like, I think that we have a big problem with that in our culture.
Sure.
We are kind of bred to feel like you're not worthy of God's love, potentially Christ's love, you know, if you do this. And I don't agree with that. And so I think that applies to both my husband and my child.
Yeah.
Right.
And you.
And
maybe
myself.
It applies more to you than
and
you
it
think.
Does apply to myself. Maybe that's a very liberal way of thinking, but I just have dealt with these issues in my own life of feeling like, why don't I feel worthy of this? Why don't it's because I've been told for years and years and years that I'm not worthy of it if I break these rules.
Right.
And so, yes, I have these standards and yes, I want to live them. But I guess when it comes to other people's actions, I just don't want anyone to feel like they're not worthy of
stuff. Will you excuse me while I text your husband? I just got... hang on one second. Hey, Austin, you got the go-ahead.
You can roll smoke it up. Weed.
Merry Christmas, Richie T. What else is new? Anything?
Not really. Just working for the Lord's University. This week
Lord's
has...
University or the Lord's Radio Station?
Sorry, the Lord's Radio Station.
I was going to say, good for you. BYU.
I do not affiliate with the Lord's University.
At all?
In any way.
Okay.
No. This week has been a pretty heavy stay-at-home mom week. I kind of split my weeks between working and not working. And usually I go into work on Wednesdays and Fridays. It's just kind of how my schedule has worked out. Mm-hmm. I work on my mom show. I record it, you know. But this week, I, for whatever reason, just didn't have an interview set up. I didn't have anywhere to be. So it's like... I kind of have this time limit on how long I can be with my child. And then I start to be like, okay, I need somebody else. Yeah, I need somebody else to handle this for a minute so I can get a break. And my limit's about 2 days.
Really?
Yeah. Like.
And then you get a break for what? A couple hours?
Yeah, just like the afternoon where, you know, I'm doing this. I'm working. I'm running to get this done. You know, it's just a much needed, like, because I can feel myself start to, like, snap at Lucy and be annoyed with her and do things that bug me. And I think that just plays into, like, you know, I would just, we need breaks, you know, we need breaks from anyone. I couldn't spend 24/7 with you having, you know,
what?
Seriously, it would drive me nuts.
Are you kidding me?
We
right
need
now?
Breaks from everybody.
You could spend 24 hours with me. Look at this face.
No, I get it.
You're like, an hour is pushing
it.
Yeah,
so. We get an hour and I'm like, okay, I can't handle. What's new with you?
Well, I'm buying a house, so that's exciting.
That's fun.
Yeah, I just got done with my home inspection.
And? You won't know yet for a couple weeks.
No, I know.
Oh, you know?
I went through it, yeah.
Did you pass?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's not really a pass thing. It's like, here's the things that we think are jacked up about this house. Mm. It's an older home that I'm buying. No, I'm not going to tell you where it is.
Are there any major things that would need repaired before?
They classify it as defective, minor, and things to be aware of. And there are 6 or 7 defective things that need to be taken care of.
Are these like the roof, radon?
No. It's not anything super, super major. Still waiting on a meth and a radon test because those take longer than just an afternoon to do. But other than that.
So the foundation is solid.
Yeah.
I have a wood shop.
Really?
Yeah.
I have an office where I will record. We'll probably turn it into a recording studio for this very show that we do.
That'll be fun.
I have a tree house.
Okay.
I have a woodshed that I'm going to make into a chicken coop.
Do you own chickens?
What? Not yet, but I will.
Have you always wanted them?
No.
Oh.
But I have a place for them.
Yeah, but that seems like a lot of work to me.
Yeah, well, sure. But fresh eggs.
Really?
I don't know.
You need fresh eggs?
No, but I could totally be an urban chicken farmer. Got a garden spot, fountain.
Do you garden?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your...
I like tomato and tomato-based things. So like when I had my garden before, I would do tomato soup.
Oh, okay.
Spaghetti sauce. Mm. Tomato basil. I love caprese salad.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You ever had that before?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Right fresh out of the garden.
Yep.
And it's a cool garden spot too. And it's close to downtown, which is nice.
Yeah.
Kind of an oasis in the city. My backyard, quiet, right? I'm on a major street. Can't hear the street.
Nice.
But their inside is a piece of junk, so.
Are you prepared for the upkeep that comes with owning a home?
Well, here's the deal. The upkeep is like so far down the road. Like there's not up to keep yet.
Okay.
Like you go in and you go, okay. So this is the house, huh? Really?
Yeah.
Like it's...
Do you have any granite countertops?
No.
You have the tile with the grout in
between.
No,
I have Formica countertops.
Ah.
I've got some aquamarine shag carpet.
I feel like Formica countertops are more advanced than tile with the grout in them.
Could be.
Right?
Yeah.
At least for Mica, you've got one solid slab.
But it's pretty bad.
Still bad.
Gonna need some new windows. Whole new bathroom. It's got that sweet 70s wood paneling.
Oh, gosh.
Right? All over.
So are you gonna put the work into this house, or are you just gonna live in it as is?
I'm demolishing it.
You are?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Wow.
Going to rip everything out. Me and my kid are going to do a bunch of it. And then I'm also going to make it into a... I'm not going to ever show the outside of the house, but it's going to become a website and blog where people can follow the progress.
Are you quitting your job?
No.
Okay.
Not today. Maybe.
Okay. You're just going to do your own thing?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Because I feel like this could be a pretty cool thing, and I got some other stuff coming up too.
Interesting.
So who knows? I could quit my job whenever I want.
It's true. We all could.
But if anyone has a great suggestion for a name.
A name for your house?
For my house blog.
Little Giant.
Yeah. Little Man. Little Man House.
Little Giant
Laundry
Dance Belt.
Basket turned over.
Dance anyway. Belt.
What did you... Dance Belt.
Dance Belt.
Contact at theculturalhall.com. Other than that, not much. Not new stuff going on.
So you need a name for your...
For the website. Like, I don't want it to be like Richie T's house.
How about the
like
Richie T experience?
Nah.
No, that's boring?
No, because I feel like that applies to a lot. Like, I feel like it needs to be like a clever home thing.
Richie's recommend.
Right. it doesn't need to have my name in it.
Oh, okay.
It can be like the house that divorce built or something like that.
The house that divorce built. That's a...
No?
That's a... welcoming name. Yeah.
So something that's memorable that people can check out, and then I'll do complete before pictures and then each of the projects. But I've already been nerding out a little bit on YouTube, finding out how to like take the tile out of the bathroom and take the carpet up and all that stuff.
That's intense. Yeah. That's a lot of work.
I don't mess around.
Yeah.
When I do it, I'm all in.
So are you going to just rip it out, or are you going to be the one putting it back in?
Oh, no, I'm not putting it back in.
Okay. You know, hiring general contractors and like subcontractors is the worst.
Yeah.
We just went through this with our basement remodel, and it took us a year and a half to get 800 square feet put back together after a flood.
Right.
Like, it just is rough.
Yeah. Hopefully that won't be my experience.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Thank you. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and do actual articles of news.
Hi, this is Dan the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. You know at PC Laptops, we can fix your broken screen on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. We can fix most phones in less than 15 minutes. Not days or even hours, but in most cases, 15 minutes or less. How awesome is that? 15 minutes or less? That's right. Here's how it works. Bring in your broken iPhone, iPad, or Android device. We'll fix your phone while you enjoy a refreshing, complimentary beverage and snack, in most cases, in under 15 minutes. It's easy and painless. Bring your broken phones and iPads into any one of our 8 locations right now, or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE, or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com, where we can fix your broken screen on your phones and tablets in less than 15 minutes. So visit us right now at PCLaptops.com.
Utah's newest upscale catering company is now accepting bookings for the upcoming holiday and wedding season. Slick Rock Catering masterfully combines exquisite food, beautiful presentation, high-level service, and careful attention to create a special occasion that will be remembered. From award-winning food, event planning, decorating, to providing highly trained servers, Slick Rock Catering will help you make your next special event a huge success. Contact them at slickrockcatering.com.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
I think I just saw your husband rolling a joint.
You did. You think I should be more mad if my husband asked me if he could go smoke a joint?
Not mad, but like I think it affects you more than you're giving off that it would affect you.
Like
I don't think it'd be like, hey, babe, I'm thinking about this would be okay, and you'd be like, okay. your salvation.
I think,
I'll see you at the game.
Well, I stand by my statement that I am not in charge of my husband's salvation.
Sure.
However, my star is kind of hitched to his wagon.
Sure.
So it would be a bigger conversation about why and what it meant.
Do you think he could talk you into it?
No.
Ever?
No.
Ever?
I have been to so many parties, so many bars, so many... I've been around alcohol so much, alcohol and weed so much that like it would be like a why now question for me.
Right.
Like if I was going to do it, why wouldn't I have done it with my friends in high school?
Right.
You know what I mean? It just, to me at this point, it's so like even if I left the church, I don't think I would drink or smoke or I have no, it's not a thing for me.
Now these friends in high school, did they go to church or that wasn't it?
Nope, they don't.
Oh. No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't grow up in Utah. I grew up in Maine. I was one of like two members of the church in my high school.
Love it.
So,
I love that story, by the way, that narrative.
Yeah.
Being one of only a couple.
Yeah, it just is, you have to understand, I have a completely different perspective of the church, you know, but I've lived in Utah for, 14 years.
At least 10 years now.
14, yeah. Since 2002. So I know both worlds, and frankly, it's a lot harder to be a member of the church here in Utah.
Well, take that.
I've found.
Did you go to church every Sunday when you lived in Maine?
Every Sunday. I wouldn't miss for any Broncos game or Patriots game.
See?
Ever.
See? Did I say hit a Peter already? I think
you did, yeah.
Let's do some articles then. I want to start here. This is just brief, but this is something I nerded out a little bit about. If you go to josephsmithpapers.org, an abundance of new content, writes this article, is now available, including full color images, transcripts, and hundreds of LDS Church Nauvoo era documents have recently been updated, including the most notable, that being images and transcripts of Joseph Smith's Bible revision for the Old and the New Testament. You know, the little Joseph Smith translations.
Uh-huh.
Color, not copies, but color like digital copies for you to be able to look.
Okay.
The publication of Joseph Smith's revision of the Bible is important because it can bring members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints closer to one of the important revelatory documents of the Restoration, said Kent P. Jackson, professor of ancient scripture at BYU.
So pictures. We have pictures now.
Yeah, pictures, colored pictures of the Bible and his writings kind of around the revisions.
I might read the scriptures more if they had pictures.
Yeah?
Yeah. Give me
you
the
like
picture
the old,
books.
Like Freeburg pictures, like in the Book of Mormon? That's the guy who drew all the ones that are in like your the Book of Mormon that you hand out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. You like those? Or are you talking like... Like if you see when Shiz loses his head, like you're into that kind of stuff, or what are we talking about?
I think I would just like it to be easier to understand. I like the scriptures to be easier to understand, and maybe pictures would help that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It really is. I feel like the more you study, the better you understand.
Yeah, and that's probably the case.
So maybe when you guys fly on the plane.
So maybe you're saying I should go to church in Denver. Read my scriptures more.
Listen, I'm not saying anything, but if those are the things that you're hearing, maybe it's what you need to hear.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Other additions to the site as of October 31st include 100 documents dating from August to December of 1842, including letters, land deeds, and Nauvoo City Council resolutions. Let's see. There's newly updated reference material. Anyway, all this you can find if you want to nerd out like I've done and do. It's josephsmithpapers.org.
Cool. The church announces Paris, France temple dedication date and open house.
Oui, oui.
Oui, je parle un peu de français.
Don't know what that means.
I have a French minor.
Yeah?
I can't speak a word of it.
You just did.
Well, I can speak that sentence.
What is and that sentence?
I speak a little bit of French, is what I said. Je parle un peu de français. I also, my parents in Maine are part of a refugee program where they house refugees that are trying to seek asylum in Maine.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of them are from Congo and they speak French. And so I try to communicate a little bit.
That's awesome.
With them over Skype.
Your mom sounds awesome. Not that your dad doesn't sound awesome. But I got to think that your mom is probably like, honey, we are adopting refugees from the Congo. Like, I can't see your dad. On the one time that I've met him, I can't see your dad being like the one being like, we're taking in refugees from the Congo.
Wait, when did you meet my dad?
when they were out here.
Oh.
I met your folks a while back.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
It was brief. It was like, oh, you're Lindsay's parents. Thanks a lot for that.
Appreciate what you did there.
Maybe you could have taught her a little bit more about church.
No, but see, I think my mom has four kids and they're all grown and out of the house now. So she kind of did this as like her latest thing, right?
Right. No, like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm sure your dad was just like, listen, it's quiet. They're gone.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy them when they come back. And your mom's like, no, we are taking refugees from the Republic of Congo and they will speak French. So get out your, what's that? It's not called Redstone. What is it? Rosetta Stone.
Oh, Rosetta Stone.
You get out your Rosetta Stone right now and we are labeling everything in this house in French and you will learn.
Wee, wee, sweetheart. Yep. That's probably how it went down. There's the LDS church in where my parents live in Maine, and also a few other congregational churches have kind of joined forces to be part of this asylum seeker program.
That's
where
awesome.
They help house these families who are trying to get their paperwork in order while they get residency here.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Anyways, long story short, Paris, France temple.
Yeah, that's where we started.
Yeah. I also, I get those emails from the church, like entertainment department. Do you get those?
Sure.
The ones that are like, come be an extra in this church video. I saw that they were seeking testimonies in French for this open house and dedication.
There you go.
So if you speak French and you want to do that,
give them a little bit of your testimony.
Yeah. En français.
Yeah. Yeah. En français. No, for you, you could be like, I don't know much French.
I could not.
The church is true.
I couldn't even tell you how to say that. Like, it would be really hard for me. But if I, like, immersed myself in the language, I could probably pick it back up pretty quickly.
Because you got a minor in it.
I studied it for a lot of years, all throughout high school and then in college. But yeah, I couldn't speak a word of it.
Okay.
And, but I was like in classes in college with all these return missionaries who were like fluent, and I'm like trying to struggle through.
And maybe we could study later. Oh, could we?
Nope, that's not how it
went
down. Nope.
I would think there would be the eager return missionary with the cute girl that's like, I really could use some peer help, some tutoring. And they're like, yeah, okay, yeah.
It didn't happen like that.
How are you holding my hand?
I met my husband at a bank.
Really?
Yeah. It's a true story. You haven't heard that story?
I don't think so. How did you meet him at a bank?
He worked at a Wells Fargo and I, a loyal customer, which was not the closest bank to my house.
Sure.
But I would make like 5 cent deposits every week to go back and see him.
You really would?
Yeah. I made 2 deposits in 1 week that I met him. And one day I went in, I secretly filled out my deposit slip until his window was open and got to his window. We just chatted and he's like, oh, I wish you'd come in earlier. I had tickets to a jazz game and I was looking for someone to go with. And I was like, well, who are you taking? Some girl from high school.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you should text her and tell her you don't want to go and take me instead. And he did.
Really?
We spent the next 5 minutes trying to figure out what to text her.
Aw.
And so he wrote to her, I thought we had an extra ticket, but now we don't. And she just wrote back, you suck.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anyways.
But it was probably just a friend or something like that.
Yeah,
not his future wife.
Okay, but if you know my husband, you know that he didn't have a hard time getting girls in high school. So he calls this like, he was down to like his fourth stringers, like on his, like people he was
Bless
trying
his
to find.
Heart.
I know, right? He actually is very humble, but yeah.
But not in that department.
Yeah. he could not find anyone to go. And, you know, as we're married now and we piece together that whole story, it's interesting to look back on all the things.
Have you ever met that girl?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like 2 weeks later, she was at a wedding of one of their mutual friends and I was getting like the stink eye.
And so she comes over and you're like, do you remember when we were at the jazz game a couple of weeks ago? And stink eyeing her right back.
Yeah, it was awkward. Because I think she kind of had a thing for him. But
sure.
I think she's doing just fine now.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who doesn't have a thing for Austin? Throw your hands up in the air.
That's a good question.
If you visited the Provo City Temple, that is the Provo City Center Temple, you might have noticed the stunning, writes this article, stained glass depiction of the Savior holding a lamb as you come in off of Main Street. This article from LDS Living, the folks that they do sort of like softball articles, right? Like you're never going to see anything super challenging in LDS Living.
Uh-huh. Are they an official church?
Yes.
Okay.
They are a church entity.
Okay.
Anyway, so this picture or the stained glass of the Savior holding a lamb, it's 100-year-old stained glass window pane. Also, there is a sister pane, not a sister with the last name of Payne, but there is another pane of glass that's in the newly dedicated Star Valley, Wyoming temple. The stained glass depictions of Christ were rescued, just like the Provo City Center Temple, after a tragic fire destroyed the beloved Provo Tabernacle. The church rescued the remnants of the historical building and built a temple from its ashes. Similarly, so this is where the stained glass comes from in these two temples. The First Presbyterian Church of Astoria in New York had to sell their historic 1920s property. An art dealer rescued a set of six stained glass windows from demolition, each portraying Christ in a different Bible scene. Funded by the Presbyterian congregation in the early 1900s, the set of beautiful stained glass depictions of Christ were commissioned by local members for their new church building. However, in 2008, the First Presbyterian Church of Astoria in New York no longer housed congregations of around 1,200 like it did in the 1950s. The significantly smaller congregation chose to sell their historic church building, which, according to Deseret News, was demolished and replaced with a nonprofit senior living center. After an art dealer preserved the windows, he sold them to an LDS art collector, who then donated at least two of the beautiful stained glass panes to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So it's interesting. One of the stained glass windows depicting Christ holding a lamb found its center in the Provo City, found its home in the Provo City Center Temple, only requiring minimal repairs. The other stained glass window, as I said, in the Star Valley, Wyoming Temple. Rescued from demolition, both stained glass window panes serve a purpose in bringing beauty, history, and religious art to the temples. Restored and beautifully displayed, the stained glass images not only add a unique touch to both temples, but they also inspire respect for other religions' art and history. So when you see that, the one in the newly dedicated Star Valley and then the one in right off of Main Street in Provo City Center Temple, Presbyterian Church in New York is where
there
we got that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Kind of cool, right?
Hey, Richie.
Yes,
are Mormons
Lindsay?
The happiest people in America?
I would say yes.
Yeah, but their skin glows. Did you know that?
But I'm a little partial.
Wasn't there a study a while ago that said...
Yeah, our skin glows.
Skin
glows. The spirit.
The spirit is glowing. Okay. When British journalist and documentarian Ruth Whitman moved to California for her husband's job in 2011, the weather wasn't the only thing that was different from her home. Everywhere she went, she noticed that people seemed obsessed with happiness. I literally never heard a British person use the word blessed. And if they did, I would think they had joined a religious cult, Whitman tells the Post, New York Post. In her new Silicon Valley home, she met a fellow mom and they hit it off. And when she tried to schedule another get together, the mom could never meet. She was at yoga, meditating, or going to workshops. It seems the mom's quest for happiness did not include making new friends. These observations propelled Whitman to find out whether the American obsession with happiness was actually making everyone miserable and more anxious. Her research took her everywhere from happiness research centers to Las Vegas, where Zappos CEO Tony Hsieh was also committed to happiness research. He embarked on a project in 2012 to build the ideal, quote unquote, community. Whitman details her findings in her new book, America the Anxious, How Our Pursuit of Happiness is Creating a Nation of Nervous Wrecks.
So are Mormons the happiest people or not?
I don't know. Surveys support the idea that religious people are much more likely to report being, quote, very happy than non-believers. The author also headed to Provo, Utah, the, quote, happiest town in America, according to Gallup polls. Surveys by the Pew Research Center and Gallup consistently support the idea that religious people are much more likely to report being very happy than non-believers. Provo has a population that is over 90% Mormon.
That's why they call it Happy Valley, because they're
Valley.
So happy. See, the stories within the story on this.
Once there, Whitman visited Mormon housewives to find out if their lives were really as wholesome and happy as they appeared. I had gotten addicted to Mormon mommy blogs, and I thought, maybe what I should really be doing is living in Utah and doing crafts, Whitman said. This is us. Let's see if I can summarize this a little bit.
Are you the happiest, Lindsay?
I am happy.
Do you craft?
I don't craft.
And you're still happy?
I'm still happy.
That makes me happy.
I don't craft. I don't cook very well. I don't...
That thing you made me that one time was delicious.
What did I make you?
It was like broccoli something.
Why do I have no recollection of any of these encounters with you?
You probably block them out. It's probably better.
No, it's just... I have a terrible
chicken
memory.
Something.
Oh, chicken divan?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. That's one of Sandy's recipes.
Yeah.
It's really
Sandy
good.
Sandy Mantel.
Mm-hmm.
Mom.
Yes.
Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
Pioneer stock.
Pioneer woman.
You know why that's a better recipe? Came across the plains with your mom.
It did. Yeah.
A plane full of babies.
She says, further conversation with Mormon women, many of them stay-at-home moms, exposed resentment at having to forgo careers for kids.
Oh.
Many of them told Whitman about struggles with depression, made worse by having to put on a constant facade of happiness.
So not the happiest.
It could be that coping mechanisms is found at the pharmacy. Mormon Utah has the highest rate of antidepressant use in the United States, twice the national average.
Yeah!
Utah may not be utopia, but Mormons have the right idea about one important element of happiness, and that is fostering friendships and community bonds. I like that theme, but yeah, I don't know how you tell if we're the happiest people. Obviously, this person is doing just that, but...
Ask me the question again, the headline question.
Hey, Richie.
Uh-huh.
Are Mormons the happiest people in America?
Yes. There. I just saved you the time from reading the article at theculturalhall.com.
Okay.
And if people ask why, because Richie said so. Why is that?
According to Richie.
Richie said so.
Right.
How many more do you have?
Oh, I got a bunch, but I don't have to do all these.
Let's do, why don't you pick one? Pick one you really like.
I like this.
Not that one.
Not this one?
Not that one. Nope. Because I'm going to a meeting tonight about that, so I'll talk more about it later.
Oh, okay. I don't like this one. 10 amazing LDS men influencing the world for good. I don't care about men.
No.
I want to know 10 LDS women influencing.
There's an article. But I'll do this men one.
Influencing.
Why don't you do that one? Do Sister McConkie one.
Sister McConkie?
Yeah. Do that one right now.
This is probably along the same lines of what we were just talking about.
Sure.
Sister McConkie, too many walk away from the church feeling judged. We need to do things differently. This is from LDS Living.
So, like, not come back down on people and tell them to go to church on vacation.
Yeah, so if you've listened to this entire episode, Richie makes me feel bad for...
You didn't feel bad.
The thing
that I appreciate about it, and the thing that I think that people need to get to with the point that you're doing, right? Like, if you are not going to church and you feel bad about it, then that's something that you need to resolve,
mm-hmm.
right? I give you a hard time because I know you. I've known you now... 10 years?
A lot of years, yeah.
Is that right? Married for...
I started at the Eagle in 2008. Yeah.
So I've known you 8 years. I know that I can give you a hard time about a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
But like, if you feel guilty about not going to church, then you probably should go to church,
uh-huh.
right? Or if you have these things that you sort of haven't resolved within yourself, like it shouldn't matter what anyone else says, right? It really is this thing where it's such an individual thing that like you really have to come to grips with it yourself.
Yeah, so why do we have such a culture of like feeling, making people feel bad that
because I think it's because of this, where like what's one thing that you consider yourself to be really successful in? Hopefully this example will work.
It's like just a life
just
thing?
Just in anything you're successful in.
I feel like a good mom.
Okay. So, this might be a stretch as far as this one goes.
I can give you something else.
No. So you could hear someone else's experience about being a mom, maybe doing things that would be very starkly different from you. And you would have that opinion that, you know, oh, well, the reason why that person is having a struggle is being a good mom is because they don't this or they do this, right? So there, I think that it becomes this thing where we go, well, I feel like I'm a really good member of the church. And what a good member of the church looks like to me is...
Is this.
Does these things, doesn't do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone is saying or is wanting to, or is also even just a member of the church, if they are doing the same as us... I think that it's human tendency, unfortunately, to say, well, they're not as good a Mormon as I am because
right.
here are the boxes I'm checking. They're checking less than them.
So why does it have to be good versus bad Mormon?
Well,
why
can't we
just...
Just be Mormon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just exist and do the best we can.
Right. Well, here is why I speculate that the Mormon church is a little different. Because, like, they're sort of are, if you'll indulge me for a second... sort of levels of Mormonism, right?
Sure.
Like, there's that family or that person that does every single activity, always helps, always volunteers, is there every Sunday, and they're those folks, right? Mm-hmm. Then there's the people that, you know, they go most of the time. Then you get the people that are there some of the time. Then you get the people that you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
So that's divisions there. But then you also have people that, like, maybe they go every Sunday, but they're hung up on a word of wisdom thing or a tithing thing, right?
Right.
So you have this distinction between temple recommend holding members of the church and non-temple recommend holding members of the church, right? So there's a division as far as that goes.
But those divisions only exist if you compare yourself to those people.
Sure. But people will always... wherever they're at, unfortunately, and this is the human tendency, and it goes both ways, I feel like. I think it is a utopian, and I think this thing that we as members of the church need to strive for. I'm not disagreeing with what you said. It is very much cultural, but we need to strive for the everyone is on a path in their own journey to God, however that is. But there is every bit of, I'm not a temple recommending holder member of the church, and I probably should be.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to beat myself up about that. Or I'm a temple recommending holder, member of the church. Why can't you guys do this? I've done it.
Right.
You know, I make mistakes. I all these things. So why can't you do it?
It's just, it's got to be about love. It's right. Got to shift. We have got to shift because... Sister McConkie says, too many walk away from the church feeling judged. We need to do things differently.
There's a great talk. You don't have a lot of details because it's pretty much just like, Sister McConkie spoke. Check out the link. If you go to theculturalhall.com, you can see a link to that story with this episode. But her talk, I love Sister McConkie.
Yeah.
I love the way that she speaks, not in the woman speaker of the church voice. And then I just love... which is not to be condescending. I just, whatever.
No, I know what you mean.
A lot of people know what I talk about when I say that... you know, there's that tone. And the gentlemen do it too.
Yeah.
And the gentlemen who break away from the tone, the tonality of the...
There's a return missionary tone too. Is that the same tone?
Yeah.
Different tone.
No, but it's a tone that you can identify as a return missionary. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's the heathen tone too. Just listen to my voice.
Listen to this episode and you'll hear it.
But it is because... Going back to it, just real quick... I think that it's harder in Mormon culture because there are those distinguishing things.
Yeah, it does feel
right?
Like
a recommend holder and not a recommend holder.
Yeah,
that is a clear distinction. Garments is another one.
Uh-huh.
Have you taken out your endowments and are true to your endowments or not?
Well, and that goes back to my earlier point about worthiness. Right, we're just conditioned and cultured to believe we are worthy of God's love, worthy of this, if we follow these things.
Right.
And if we're not following them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me. So I've got a younger brother who for, I don't know, 5-7 years, he hasn't gone to church, right? In the last couple of years, he's gone to church, right? I think he's in scouts. He's something to do with the scouts. And he is the guy that is there. He goes camping with the scouts and he's there every week and he's excited about the boys and he, you know, he does all that. He works for a family business. So, you know, it really is, he's working a ton more than he would for a normal job. Right. I think the tithing, because they wanted to have a place for their family. They bought a home, in an unwise way before the market crashed and then just ate it. And now 10 years later are finally getting out from underneath it.
Jeez.
And so I think that that's been a financial struggle, right? But if you just look on the outside of him, you go, listen, pal, you're coming to church all the time. Why don't you just, why aren't you paying your tithing and going to the temple? Why haven't you, do you not want to be sealed to your wife, right? Like, I think that there are, unfortunately, those people that would do that. But like you say, you take the time, get to know the person, get to know the story, love the person with a genuine love. I think you dissolve all of those different levels and go, hey, you know what? That person has really struggled with that. The fact that they're here, man, that's amazing.
Yeah. You guys, there are so many people who are checking all the boxes who are not good people.
Yep.
And there are so many good people who may not check all the boxes.
Yep.
Like, can we just remember that?
Yeah. And never forget it.
Right.
So sassy. Let me end on this. Let's see how many of these men you know. And don't worry, I'll find a woman list, everyone. I'll find a woman list.
Well,
and we'll do a woman
list. The only reason I bring that up is because I recently read an article just about how women in the church, girls in the church, don't have a lot of women figures to look up to in the church. So that's why it was kind of top of mind for me.
However, in fact, right here, it says earlier this year, we gave you the 10 amazing LDS women.
Oh,
I'll find that list.
My apologies.
I seem to think that we did that here in the Cultural Hall.
Okay.
But you know what? On the next episode, I'll find that and we'll do that.
My apologies. I didn't know it existed.
Yeah, we'll find.
Okay.
Tell me if you know these people. Timothy Ballard. Do you know who that is?
Was there any relation to Elder Ballard?
Nope. Probably.
Yeah.
He is the founder of Operation Underground Railroad.
Okay.
That is, we had them here in the Cultural Hall before when we talked to Ed Smart. They're helping to abolish sex trafficking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
OURrescue.org is the website if you want to learn about that. He's also authored a couple of books, and he's a former member of the CIA, and he was the focus of the film The Abolitionists.
Yes. Okay.
Piano Guys. You heard of them?
Heard of him.
Okay. Them. It's more than one.
Well, I'm aware.
It's a guys, plural.
Uh-huh.
How about Jimmer Fredette?
Heard of him.
Okay. Basketball player from the BYU.
Uh-huh.
How about Mason Davis?
I don't know that name.
If you've been paying attention to the Renaissance, says this article, in Mormon film lately, you've likely noticed Mason Davis. You probably don't know him by name. He's been in the scene that I was in Saturday's Warrior.
Ah.
He's also in 16 Stones, The Cokeville Miracle, The Last Descent, and more. Davis once faced a serious drug addiction and was homeless.
Oh.
After returning to full activity in the church, he became an inspiration to LDS youth, Mason Davis. How about Jeff Benedict? You know who that is?
No.
He's a New York Times best-selling author, sports writer, teacher, and producer. He's written 15 books, including the recent autobiography of Hall of Fame quarterback Steve Young. How about James the Mormon?
Heard of him.
You know what he does?
He's a rapper.
Yep. How about Jason Smythe or Smith? We talked about him a little bit here in the Cultural Hall recently.
I don't know him.
He's the fastest Paralympian on the planet.
Oh.
He did a 10.22 second 100 meter in the 2012 London Paralympics. Recently won his third gold medal in the 2016 Paralympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. How about Tito Mormon?
Not a clue.
Tito Mormon was born as Muhammad Mormon. He obeyed the strict teachings of Islam from birth, and then he was introduced to the church. He converted. He was imprisoned for 15 years as a result of his conversion. After being freed, Mormon has opened up about his story in the powerful book, My Name Used to Be Muhammad, the story of a Muslim who became a Christian.
Is his last name really Mormon?
Mormon, M-O-M-E-N. Yep.
Oh.
Mormon the Mormon.
I thought it was like Mormon without the R.
How about Alex Belinsky?
Nope. Should I know more of these people?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's interesting to know. He's the creative force behind multiple YouTube channels designed to share the gospel and share goodness. His largest collection is on Prepare to Serve, which is a channel that you can check out. His most recent project, Lifey Health, is designed to collect stories about health conditions so those afflicted can find support and strength. And that's it. There's your 10 right there.
10 LDS men.
Maybe you should know.
Doing big
and
things.
Maybe future guests here at the Cultural Hall.
Yeah, there's your
that's
prep.
The rest of the episodes for the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the women list. I'm done.
Right?
I don't have to do this show ever again.
I know.
Speaking of which, let's be done. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that when the time comes, you can travel home in safety.
And that if you weren't able to listen this week, you'll be able to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back.